I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome to the BadgerBlitz.com podcast. I'm your host, Benjamin Wargle, the football and men's basketball beat writer for Rivals.com, and we have a full show for you this weekend. We will begin breaking down the Wisconsin spring roster position by position over the next several podcasts, and we will have some Badger basketball news to get to with an announcement, a signing, and a commitment. And we'll touch on that towards the end of the show. But we're going to jump right into it. We're starting with spring football. Wisconsin football has completed 3 of its 5 weeks and 9 of its 15 practices during phase 2 of its 2021 offseason. And Badger Blitz is one of the media outlets who is allowed to attend a select number of spring practices. Jake Kokorowski has been there. He was there on April 10th and April 13th. And he has filed this report for us for the podcast, an exclusive report on what he has seen inside Camp Randall Stadium.
Hello, everybody. This is Jake Kokorowski, senior writer at BadgerBlitz.com, giving you a spring football update here on the BadgerBlitz.com podcast. And we've only had 2 of the 8 practices open to reporters, but I was there on Saturday, this past Saturday, and on Tuesday. We should be able to, weather permitting, be able to watch Saturday morning's practice as well, which is supposed to take out probably like mid-morning right around there. So I'll be down there again at Camp Randall Stadium watching the team practice. And here, just giving you some quick updates as to what I've seen. Of course, go to BadgerBlitz.com. After every practice, you'll see me break down exactly what I saw, who's out, who shined, and go from there. So I hope you guys check those out. Real quick, kind of going through, I know everyone's talking, you know, the most famous position right now, or most popular position in football is quarterbacks. And I don't know, kind of just talking about that. I was going through my notes, and I think if I didn't miss anything, I've only seen one interception thrown during like teamwork, and that was Danny Vandenboom when he threw an interception to John Torchio, which if you look at what, if you call it a pick six, you can call it that if you want to, you know, he took it back for a long gain there. But the other two quarterbacks, obviously QB1 and QB2 assumed, is Graham Mertz and Chase Wolf respectively. And yeah, you know, kind of, you know, you take a look at my notes that I've had in the articles, and but I kind of want to dive just a little bit deeper into just what I've seen so far out of 2 practices. And again, it's only 2 practices out of the 8. We're going to have a bigger picture coming up on Saturday. I'm sure we'll get more the stroke, if you will, in terms of painting as an analogy. We'll see broader strokes, and we'll see further how they've developed as we continue to see more and more practices that are open to reporters. But just based off of those 2 and maybe a somewhat small sample size, I've liked what I've seen out of both. I think both quarterbacks are throwing the ball well. We've seen, you know, Graham Mertz make some big throws. I know he hit, you know, Danny Davis and A.J. Abbott, you know, during practices. Chase Wolf, I thought, has had some good throws as well. You know, you also see with Chase a little bit of the side, you know, arm motion here and there. But, you know, I do like what I'm seeing out of both those quarterbacks, especially with, I think, Mertz. You're seeing good throws on his end. I mean, he could have had a big throw, I think it was on Saturday, to Danny Davis, but he maybe a yard or two overshot him. But, you know, it's a good sign to see, you know, those quarterbacks, you know, looking, I would say, relatively sharp during this part of practice too. And I talked about, you know, A.J. Abbott. On Saturday, Danny Davis, I thought, had a really good day in hauling in some passes and making his presence known and whatnot, not just in like the long game and long passing game, trying to, you know, break, you know, I talked about the fact that he got deep and beat the secondary, which would have been a long completion if the ball's not overthrown. But I thought it also worked well in the short passing game. But, you know, A.J. Abbott, I think, is going to, you know, looking at depth. And Kendrick Pryor did not practice on Saturday. He did come back. He was, you know, I would say, you know, he did a little bit of work on Tuesday. And you know, outside of Davis and Pryor, and you know, you looked at Pryor, he had that left, UW called it a left leg injury on Saturday. But you know, besides Davis and Pryor, they need others to step up, like, you know, Chimray Dike, who I think has looked good. He's had a couple of good passes that he's hauled in, especially on Tuesday and whatnot. But A.J. Abbott could be another name. You obviously have Jack Dunn, but A.J. Abbott on Tuesday had some really nice receptions there on his end in terms of beating the defense on that, you know, deeper level. We talk about just who's going to be a deep threat for Wisconsin in that passing game, and they need someone to, you know, keep defenses honest, because of, you can't just continue to try to run the ball with eight or nine defenders in the box, right? So with that, I would say I've liked what I've seen out of A.J. Abbott and like and what he's done in his you know, short time, in the two practices that were open to the media there. Running backs, I really do, you know, I think we've seen a lot of Brady Shipper. If you read my reports on Tuesday, you know, Jalen Berger and Julius Davis did not practice. UW on the weekend had mentioned they had both had leg injuries. Berger appeared to suit up on Saturday for a bit and then was taken out and whatnot there. But, you know, we've seen a lot of Brady Shipper. Isaac Randall did get some work on Tuesday, but you saw a very heavy dose of Brady Shipper, but also a couple of fullbacks and John Chanel and Quan Easterling. It's going to be, in my opinion, going to be very interesting just to see how this position group, and it's just a spring. I mean, spring where, you know, I think this is a group young enough that they need the reps, but underneath new running backs coach Gary Brown, just how they develop, it's going to be a key position, because obviously Wisconsin likes to run the ball, as we have noted through, you know, for quite a while. But you know, for that matter, I thought Chanel and Easterling actually looked pretty good running the ball as well. They had some a couple of nice gains on their ends on Tuesday. Brady Shipper's getting a lot of carries, and I think that, you know, he could turn himself into a contributor down the road too. He had a couple of nice, you know, I think he had at least one or two nice runs from what I saw, or even catching the ball out of the backfield. I know on one play on Tuesday that he took for a longer gain too. So that's something to look on both. You know, I would say those are some key positions, at least for the skill positions there. I would also say, you know, with the offensive line, you know, we've seen kind of the first team offensive line be, you know, from left tackle to right tackle, Tyler Beach, Josh Seltzner, Caden Lyles, Jack Nelson, and then you have Logan Bruss. I would venture to say, you know, I mean, I've tried to check too, but I have not seen much change in that for this week in the past two practices. You know, you've had a second team line of, it was Logan Brown, I think, on Saturday, but then there, you know, he, Riley Malman got some snaps because Brown had what UW called a non-COVID related illness there. You had, then from like left guard to right tackle, you had Cormac Sampson, Tanner Bordellini, you had Michael Furtney, and then Trey Wettig. So you have those guys when it comes to just how those lines have been. I haven't seen much change. And we, you know, I'm sure Ben's talked about, you know, just the offensive line too in recent episodes too, just talking about just how this, you know, it's going to be interesting to see who replaces who and who steps up at various positions coming up, especially on the offensive line. But I haven't seen much change where they've like flipped and flopped, or they've changed, you know, guard roles over the past two practices. I haven't seen much change on the lines in terms of mixing and matching. I'll be interested to see what happens next week, or even tomorrow as I'm recording on a Friday, just what happens there. You also going and seeing, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, I think one thing to look at, you know, both Keanu Benton and Bryson Williams, left leg and right leg respectively, according to UW, in terms of injuries for those two. You know, have not practiced the past two practices that have been open to the media. You've seen a lot of Gio Paez in that defensive, in that nose tackle look there, getting a lot of reps. It will be interesting to see just how inside linebacker looks in my eyes. Obviously, you have Jack Sanborn and Leo Chanel as the starters. Mike Mascalunas has been out with a core injury, and he told reporters that he's hoping to get back within a week. He said that to us on Wednesday, but it will, you know, behind them, you know, you have Tatum Grass and Muma Jangmeta, who have very much taken reps behind Chanel and Sanborn, especially on Tuesday. I am intrigued to see just how those two continue to develop, because there should be depth that's needed there. And for those that hopefully you all read Ben's article on BadgerBlitz.com talking about just what Muma had to go through in 2020 related to injuries and adversity that he went through there. So, but outside linebacker, you know, I know Noah Burks, you know, he suited up on Tuesday. You know, he was going through COVID protocols and previously, but I really do like Nick Herbig. I think he's going to shine really well. And that's just me speculating, but I feel that he's going to step up big as a sophomore. I like what CJ Getz can bring. I think overall, like that outside linebacker group, there's a lot of unproven potential in terms of pass rush. Spencer Lytle, you know, and whatnot. I think he has a body frame that could really stand up at that position. You have Aaron Witt and whatnot, and among others. So it is very much a and I'm just looking back on my notes, too, just to see who was all in there. And I think this group could be really, really special going forward. And we'll just, again, we'll just see how everything plays out there. Even like TJ Bowlers, I think, is going to be a very intriguing player down the road, and him getting in early is good on that end. Secondary wise, as I'll wrap up here, you know, I'll do special teams in a second, but when it comes to the secondary, Fayon Hicks, you know, returned, you know, did some work. It looked like I didn't see him in team drills necessarily on Tuesday, but he was out on Saturday. But I saw, you know, Caesar Williams work with, if I'm not mistaken, Alex Smith and several others. I'm looking at my notes right now, but you know, Alexander Smith, Dean Ingram, Dante Burton at corner. You on top of that in terms of slot, because Hicks with Rashard Wildgoose out, you know, it's assumed that, you know, Fayon Hicks will get a lot of work in the slot, but you're also seeing Dean Ingram and Alexander Smith receive snaps there, working on the inside. So there's versatility where they're both working on the outside corner spots, but you're also seeing them on the inside in the slot, which is a very key position. It's going to be something worth watching going forward. But yeah, I do feel that, you know, safety wise, you know, you have Scott Nelson and Colin Wilder from what I've seen. Second up's been John Torchio and whatnot in the second group at the very least there. I guess special teams, one thing to watch, just, you know, back catching punts on Tuesday was included, you know, Ingram and DK, but also Jack Dunn, Danny Davis, Devin Chandler were catching some punts back there. They weren't necessarily going through like punt return drills. It was more watching the punters punt and they're just catching and whatnot. The lone, you know, look, talking about long snapper, I think this is going to be one area to watch just because it's so crucial and it's such an understated part, underrated part of football, but the long snapper position. Gone is Adam Bay, obviously, and looks like, you know, like he could go to the next level. I think he's got the talent to do it. But then you also have someone like Peter, Bowden, who, you know, I think, you know, it seems like he's gotten a vast majority of the snaps that way and whatnot, as a primary long snapper. So, I'm going to keep an eye on him just because, like I said, a bad snap for a punt, a bad snap on a field goal or extra point can obviously drastically change the game. So other than that, just to kind of go through a couple more injuries, just for those that if I didn't ask, you know, Isaiah Green-May has been out still with an injury. Cornerback, too. I know, as I mentioned, Fayon Hicks coming back on Tuesday, but, you know, Daron Harrow has a right leg injury. Samar Melvin has a right arm injury as well. So, you know, it's allowing players to, you know, even like a guy like Al Ashford or Amon Williams, those guys have gone and, you know, they've received reps, I think, with, you call it like the second or the team or the reserves group. So they've gotten those reserves with that position group. With Hank Poteet's position group, kind of down in numbers with some of those that have played in big-time situations there. So, which is good, I think, for the young guys. Obviously, they can receive some coaching and whatnot as well. So, I will let you all go there. I'm Jay Kokorowski, shipping this back off to Ben. Y'all have a great weekend. We'll talk to you guys soon. Take care.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
That is Jake's report, and to get his full report for yesterday's practice, April 17th, log on now to BadgerBlitz.com. And as I said at the top, over the next several weeks, I'll break down two positions per podcast, and there's no better place to start on the Wisconsin roster than with Graham Mertz and the Wisconsin quarterbacks. And with Jack Cohn having transferred to Notre Dame, Mertz enters this offseason, this season, with the program squarely on his shoulders. He started all seven games a year ago. He completed over 61% of his passes, threw for 1,200 yards, 9 touchdowns, and 5 interceptions. Not a bad debut season. However, 5 of those touchdowns came in that sterling performance against Illinois in the season opener. 248 yards in the game. He set a school record for completion percentage. He went 20 for 21. That's 95.2%. But those other 6 starts kind of failed to reach that lofty mark he set for himself. You know, you boil it down, those 6 starts, just 990 yards per total, 165 yards per contest. 4 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, and 3 fumbles over those 6 games as well. Now, granted, Mertz battled COVID. He had an injury to his throwing shoulder that required a weekly cortisone shot that wasn't roundly reported during the season. And he was without senior receivers Danny Davis and Kendrick Pryor for most of the season. But he makes no excuses for a 57% completion percentage in those final 6 games. So a lot of the eyes on Mertz will be on his development this season and how he can use the full offseason at his disposal to grow in the position. Now, partly because of his youth and the COVID pauses and recovery from the virus, Mertz has struggled to consistently make the offense function at a high level after tearing apart a bad Illinois team. And when you boil it all down, Wisconsin finished 108th in the country in average passing yards per game, 87th in passing efficiency, and 81st in third down percentage. Part of the reason why Wisconsin struggled to put points over the board against the Indianas and the Iowas of the world kind of in their top games in their 2020 schedule. Now, a noticeable difference this year for Mertz will be head coach Paul Chris having a bigger voice in the quarterback room. Chris took a back seat to play calling last season so he could have a bigger focus on the rest of the roster, a decision that I think irritated a lot of people from the outside looking in. And, you know, upon further evaluation, Chris has resumed those duties, those play calling duties, and hopefully that will bring a spark back to the offense, a spark that maybe was missing at times last season against those top opponents. And the reason why Chris is back is as John Budmeyer has left the program to take the offensive coordinator position at Colorado State. Chris decided to hire a cornerback coach instead of a quarterback coach, causing the shift in how roles are handed out this year in the offense. Now, with Chris's history of growing and molding young quarterbacks, how will Mertz evolve and grow from his failures of a season ago and become a more well-rounded quarterback? More importantly, can he work his way out of the ruts that he experienced last year to breathe confidence within the offense without forcing passes and creating turnovers? Now, for starters, Chris and Mertz have worked throughout winter conditioning on detailing those shortcomings and identifying those areas the offense struggled in 2020, and that has led to improvements with Mertz's footwork in those shotgun situations, with his drop step, playing with better timing and anticipation, and taking what he's learned in the offseason and putting it to work on the field throughout these spring practices. Now, Mertz is the perceived starter, but you know, keep in mind, Chase Wolf is still there and could give him a run for his money. And now, he only appeared in 3 games last season, but Wolf threw that critical third down touchdown pass against Minnesota on his first snap after Mertz had to exit the game with a mild concussion. And Wolf's ability to move in the pocket allowed the coaches to have to put in some run pass options for him in those final 2 games of the season. However, if you remember, Wolf hung 2 deep ball throws that were intercepted against both Minnesota and Wake Forest. Now, Wolf arguably has as much talent as Mertz, but has struggled to display that on the field making spring important for both Mertz and Wolf to improve in their arsenal. And, you know, there's only really a two-man race at the position. Danny Vandenboom and Daniel Wright have been taking mostly 13 reps, and Deacon Hill is not going to arrive until the summer to play his high school season, which just ended. But Deacon Hill doesn't really figure into the mix at quarterback this fall. Now, onlookers add that there is a conviction to Mertz's approach, natural in the progression of a quarterback who went from no starting experience to playing a full season, full being seven games. The growth started to peak out later in the season, if you remember. He threw three picks in that loss, that ugly loss at Northwestern, and he struggled against Indiana and Iowa, but he closed the season with no interceptions in his final two games and accounted for three touchdowns, including those first two career rushing touchdowns of his in that big bowl win against Wake Forest. Now, the internal improvement is one of the reasons, in my opinion, Mertz is excited about moving this team in the direction that's going in. You know, one of the first things the group did when returning to campus in January was dissect the previous season. And one needed area of growth the group identified was becoming closer as a team, an opportunity that was really taken away when the players went months without seeing each other due to COVID and protocols forcing summer conditioning to be limited to small groups. Now, with things starting to look closer to normal, Mertz told us in the media that he finds himself naturally gravitating to teammates in the locker room, reaching out to players on both sides of the ball to talk about anything from football to a story about their childhood. And all this, in my opinion, gives credence to Mertz's belief that last year's up and down performances have given way to a steadier approach within the offense. Now, with games still 5 months away, Mertz is now laying the groundwork for Wisconsin's offense to bounce back in the fall. Here now is our spring practice conversation with Wisconsin quarterback Graham Mertz.
Graham, I know you've said you've had confidence in all your guys who are on the field, but what did you find to be the biggest challenge on offense at times last season with so many guys not able to play? And how much better do you anticipate this group being this season?
Yeah, I think in the end it just comes down to execution. And that comes down to practicing better and the focus on detail during the week and really knowing your role and how you need to execute during the game. And I think for us, like, we've only had two practices of spring ball, but it's going to be a completely different team. Guys are playing with confidence, trusting the game plan or trusting the installs we got in and flying around making plays. So this spring ball will mean a lot, and I know it's from where we were last year, where we're going to be this year, completely different. I got complete confidence in that.
Yeah, Graham, Danny and Chase were talking about, you know, you've got a different quarterbacks coach in Paul versus John, and not saying one is better than the other, but it sounds like a little different approach this year, more having the quarterbacks look at the run game, a more holistic approach. Can you address how things have changed for you in dealing with Paul versus John?
Yeah, I mean, first off, Coach Bud was a great coach and still is, and that's why I got a great job over at Colorado State. And then for us, the verbiage didn't really change a lot with just because he was working with Coach Chris the entire time. So as far as, like, verbiage, it hasn't really changed. But the emphasis on the little things and, like, being able to get up on the board, draw a play up and explain it and truly have complete and full confidence in that play and knowing every single part of it and even in the run game. And really, it's the attention to detail in that aspect that Coach Chris really has been emphasizing in the 8 weeks of winter conditioning and then up to this point. So it's been great.
Graham, a couple of other quarterbacks, especially Chase, mentioned the game slowing down for him a little bit. Obviously, when you started the games last season, you could see at times maybe it sped up and slowed down to, like, the inconsistencies. Have you felt yourself kind of leveling that out and finding a more consistent rhythm here in spring?
Yeah, completely. And that goes with working over with Coach Chris in the winter and truly just detailing up what happened during the season and how to improve on that and playing with more smooth footwork in the gun and under center and playing with great timing, great anticipation. And it's been great these first two practices just to put that work to really bring that to life on the field. And I feel like I'm playing some smooth and crisp ball right now, and I'm loving it. So it can only go up from there, which is fun.
Graham, not to dwell on the past from last year or whatnot, but I was reading the UW Badgers article about you injuring your throwing shoulder last year. When did that occur, and how much did that affect you during those games, in November and December?
Yeah, I mean, it comes with playing the sport. You get hurt and you go through stuff like that and having to get like a cortisone shot during the week, stuff like that. But I'm not the one to sit here and make excuses to how I played, and having a little banged up shoulder doesn't justify losing three games and playing like that. So I'm not going to sit here and make that an excuse, because it's not.
Graham, has anybody from the like wide receiver or tight end group stood out to you so far? I know it was only a couple of practices in, but maybe throughout their winter and that work?
Yeah, I'm going to be broad with this answer, because those two groups and as a whole, they're truly paying attention to the details and emphasizing route depth and getting out of their breaks and really just competing for the ball and going up and getting it. And I think those two groups as a whole are doing a great job of that and truly competing their asses off and bringing that energy every day. And I could narrow out single guys and explain how they're doing it, but everyone's doing it different. And that's the cool part. But as a whole, those two groups are doing a great job of competing and bringing that juice every day.
Well, what specifically have you worked on the most during the offseason in terms of trying to become a better quarterback? Is there any specific part of your game you're really emphasizing? I wasn't sure.
Yeah, I mean, for me, you cut on the tape and it all comes down to footwork. And for me, being able to control my speed of my drop and really breaking down each step of the drop and how to play with great anticipation. And these past two practices, it's kind of back to that feeling of just playing. And that's the part for me that's fun. And really, I feel like my knowledge of the game from last year is kind of – it's grown a little bit, but it always grows. The more you keep going, the more you learn. But for me, it's the drop and playing with that – just playing smooth and having fun playing smooth and just going out there and making plays. And for me, I think that's the biggest thing is drop and just playing the way – dictating how I want to play, and that all comes down to one thing you control, and that's how you drop and the timing you're playing with.
Yeah, Graham, with the full season under your belt now, has this offseason, have you noticed in practice anything kind of slowing down for you? Has it been coming to you a lot easier than any prior offseason you've had before?
Yeah, it's been great. The game slowed down a ton, and for me to just really just get more reps at it and having a spring ball to just grow and learn and make some mistakes, learn from them, and then move on and grow. And for me, I think that this spring is going to be big time for me. And truly being able to focus on the things I messed up during the season and make sure it doesn't happen again. So it's going to be great.
Graham, in the past you've talked about how much you love watching film. After the Mayo Bowl, when did you start watching film, or did you kind of give yourself some time to just kind of relax and get away from football a little bit?
Yeah, I gave myself a couple of days just to kind of reflect on the season, and from that point to see, all right, what's going to work best for me going here or moving forward, and what do I need to do to, before I go and turn on the film from the season, how do I need to improve, and truly just taking like a holistic approach to it. And even outside of football, like during a game week, how am I going to take that time to focus on myself as a human being and just enjoy life? And for me, I took a couple of days just to kind of take that approach and, all right, how can I be the best Graham during the season? And then I went back and rewatched the season and really focused on, all right, here I'm going to look at my drop and then look at drops for a couple of days. And it's, all right, I'm going to look at scheme and how I went through the play. So for me, I took that time at home to kind of break it down into chunks of, this week I'm going to focus on drops, this week is going to be scheme, this week going to be like defensive recognition. And that time at home was great just for me to just kind of slow it down and take it piece by piece and where I need to go from there to improve. And from that point, it was it's clear as day now on what I need to do, and that's the fun thing. And this is the chunk of time where it's, you really get to put that to work.
Graham, you guys saw last year what COVID could do to a team and spreading through a team like it did. Are you nervous at all with how the protocol right now for you guys not to be tested daily?
I mean, we're still testing. We're going Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and making sure that we're still practicing safe. And we're doing everything we can to make sure it doesn't happen again and making sure we can make the most out of these practices. So as a team, I don't think we're really worried about it. We're still taking the safety precautions and everything we need to do in order to keep having practice. But I don't think guys are really extremely worried about it, especially with all the vaccines rolling out. I know we got to big chunk of the team that has gotten vaccinated. So I don't think the stress on it is as big as it was, but we're still taking care of what we need to do.
Graham, this is your third spring here, but obviously your first one where you've been a starter and better know your role. How much more comfortable do you feel with developing relationships with teammates and being willing to tell them pointers or things you want from them, maybe some of the things that don't always go into a specific play?
Yeah, I mean, I think that just comes down to being a quarterback. And the way I try to carry myself as a leader and a quarterback on the team is, like, how can I be as close with everybody on the team as I can? And that goes to every day walking around the locker room, not looking at your phone, like really engaging with guys and just like asking them, like, dude, just talk to me. Like, tell me a story when you were a kid. And just getting to know guys at a deeper level that you normally wouldn't in the locker room. And but like for me, I've always tried to be like that, and I never force it. It just kind of comes to me, and it's fun to do, and it's fun to learn about people and how you can relate to them. And then like taking that onto the field, you build up that trust off the field, and then you can carry it on the field. And like, for example, like a guy like Chimp, and off the field, we've had a bunch of deep talks and just kind of talked about like our goals and like where we want this team to go and stuff like that. And then like we've built up that trust. So on the field, all right, if he messes something up, I know I can go tell him right now, all right, dude, I need you at 14 yards. Like, you can't be at 13. I need you at 14. and then we're good to go. So for me, it's taking care of that off the field and building that trust up so you can carry it onto the field. And I think that's what you need to do as a quarterback and as a leader.
Yeah, Graham, when the team reunited for winter workouts and you guys maybe talked about what didn't go as well as you had hoped last year, what were some of the things you discussed? And do your teammates share your enthusiasm that 2021 is going to be a completely different team?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that we got back to, or when we got back that we talked about, was just being a team again and really having that time to go through winter workouts, go through spring ball, go through summer together. And how can we get that sense of like that togetherness back that you didn't have during the COVID year, or that when you're at home for 3 months and you can't see a guy face to face? So the first thing was, all right, how can we get to that point where we're just together and working out and building those bonds? And then to answer your question, yes, I think if you're here at the University of Wisconsin, you don't have those goals and you're at the wrong spot. And we know what the standard is. We know where we want to go, and everybody's ready to.
Now, after taking a closer look at the quarterback position, let's look at who Graham Mertz is going to hand the ball off to this upcoming fall. It's likely going to be sophomore Jalen Berger, who led the team in rushing yards a season ago, 301 yards on 60 carries. He did all that despite only playing in 4 games, didn't play in the opener, and missed 2 games because of COVID. But this spring supposedly was going to be big for Jalen Berger to get a full offseason under his belt, but of the 4 running backs on the roster, only 1 running back is healthy, and that's walk-on Brady Shipper. So overall, it was a tough year for Wisconsin's tailbacks last season, and it's kind of carrying over into this spring without being able to be on the field. Remember, Wisconsin had high expectations for their running back group without Jonathan Taylor in the backfield, but without Taylor's experience and talent, the Badgers finished 62nd in the country in rushing offense. The tailbacks as a collective unit only had 834 yards in those 7 games and 7 touchdowns. Only had 1 player, that was Garrett Groshek, break 100 yards in any 1 game, and he only had 1 run over 25 yards the entire season. Now, despite Berger's limited experience, it's still more than the rest of the group put together. The other 3 tailbacks on UW's spring roster, Shipper, Julius Davis, and Isaac Garendo, had a combined 25 carries over the last 2 seasons. You look at other players like a Julius Davis, 1 carry last season. Isaac Rendell missed most of the season dealing with a hamstring problem that continues to plague him now. Wisconsin is so limited at the tailback spot, fullbacks John Chanel and Quan Easterling are having to work at both tailback and fullback just so Wisconsin can scrimmage and practice. The lack of experience is one of the reasons why, though, there is some excitement with the hiring of Gary Brown as running back coach to replace John Settle. One of Brown's biggest traits after a decade in the NFL is how he has developed young tailbacks. Working with the Dallas Cowboys before coming to Wisconsin, Brown coached rookie Ezekiel Elliott and helped him win the rushing title as a rookie. And before being in Dallas, he was in Cleveland, where he mentored Trent Richardson and helped him record 1,300 yards from scrimmage 950 rushing yards, 12 total touchdowns, and 72 points, which are all Brown rookie records. He also is incredibly inspirational, having beat cancer once a decade ago and is currently doing so again. Here is the media's conversation with Brown from last week about these tailbacks he's having a chance to work with.
Gary, I was asking, what are your impressions of each of the running backs you've had in spring, either from what you've been able to see in practice or on film as you were studying them with Jalen, Isaac, Julius, and Brady?
I think all four of those guys have a unique skill set. I hadn't been able to watch them on film before I got here, but being that I've had them in practice a few times, I've been able to see that they've been able to grow with some of the teaching. Some of the stuff I'm teaching may be a little different than what they're used to, but they all have the skill set to go out and gain yards in the offense that we're going to run. Very excited working with all those guys. I think all those guys can have a niche in what we want to do. Obviously, one is going to separate from another when spring, you know, clarifies itself and fall clarifies itself. But I'm very excited about all four of those guys.
Hey, Gary, I was wondering what attracted you to this job. I know you were out of football last year, but just wanted to. But what was it about the Wisconsin job and this opportunity that made you want to come here?
Well, we all know that they've had a rich tradition of running backs. If you're a student of the game and you watch the game, you understand that Wisconsin runs the ball. And what other place would a running back coach want to be where they're going to run the rock? So that's where you want to be. That's where, you know, when I talked to Coach Christ and, you know, her and I talked on the phone, it just felt like a good place for me, a great place to come back and reestablish myself as a coach in this game. And I'm just glad they gave me an opportunity to do that.
Gary, can you take us through? It hasn't been a usual transition where you start the year on the same staff. You kind of came in late. Mm-hmm. You mentioned you didn't get a chance to look at those guys on tape. What has that been like to try to get your feet under you and get comfortable?
Well, it's been really good. I was in Dallas for 7 straight seasons, so the off season was kind of I don't want to say easy, but I knew the offense, I knew the players. We were drafting guys going to combine, so it was kind of like I was in autopilot. In Dallas for 7 years. So in this situation where I didn't know anybody, I didn't know the offense, I didn't know anything, was exciting to me because now I'm back into the student mode and now I'm learning and I'm trying to get the terminology down. I'm trying to learn the players and all their different little ins and outs on how they do things and the coaches and all that. And it's been very exciting. Listen, I'm not even close to where I need to be, but I'm going in the right direction.
Just wondering for you what the biggest adjustment is going from between coaching at the NFL level and then being back in the college ranks now. And I was wondering, was this something that appealed to you to go back to college, or is it just a case where it was this particular opportunity going to Wisconsin that appealed to you?
Well, I think, I guess you can say yes on both ends. I think it's always been intriguing to me to go back to college. Like I said, I was in the NFL for 11 years, started off in college. So it's always been intriguing to me to maybe go back to college one day. Well, when this opportunity came along, it's one you can't turn down, especially, like I said, with the tradition of running backs, how they run the football, how they do the things here. You've heard, you know, in the ranks of, you know, the NFL and you're at combines, you're talking to guys. Wisconsin's always one of those schools that's talked about that does it the right way, not only academically but athletically. So you just want to be a part of those types of programs.
When you were with the Dallas Cowboys, obviously that was the pinnacle of running the ball in the NFL, and now you're at the pinnacle of running the ball in college football. What has jumped out to you in your short time here with the Badgers, maybe that's similar to what you've seen in Dallas, or just that's impressed you overall?
What I think has jumped out to me is the way the coaches go about formulating the game plan and formulating the offense. It's been tremendous for me to learn from them guys. Those guys are tremendous coaches. They have a blend of college, but yet still have some pro feel to it. So it's a great way to run the ball. I am totally, totally appreciative of being in this situation because I'm learning some things that I've never learned before. Obviously, in the NFL, there's only a few teams that do the RPO thing, that do those types of things. So, you know, I'm learning different ways of doing things. So it's a tremendous, tremendous opportunity.
Gary, Jalen Berger has the most carries in the group, I believe. He only played in 4 games last year, and this is just his second year. First of all,
what have you noticed about his skill set that you can help coach him? And how do you get a younger group ready for the grind of a college football season?
Well, I think first with Jalen, I think that just watching him, obviously when I got here, I watched some tape, but watching him in practice, he's a very smooth, instinctive runner. He has a lot to learn, but I think he has a skill set to be a three-phase running back. And when I say three-phase, I mean can run, catch, and pass protect. So he has those type of skill sets. We just have to get it out of him. He's very young. There's going to be a certain standard that we set in the room that all of them are going to have to live up to. And they're all going in the right direction. Don't get me wrong. They're all great kids. They're all going in the right direction. But we got a long way to go. I'm glad that the season's not starting next week. We got some time to get ready for Penn State, but it's a great situation to be in. It's a great situation to be in.
So you got a lot of guys in your room that are unproven, right? They haven't played a lot of snaps. They haven't played a lot at this position. Just do you see the hunger out of them because of that, or a desire to kind of impress when they get on the field?
Well, I think it's a combination of hunger and the desire to learn, which is great. They're like Clay. And like I said earlier about being in the NFL, it was kind of like you taught those guys how to do it. They signed 5-year deals, and you don't have to teach them much of the offense anymore. And they've kind of gotten it. These guys are like Clay, and it's given me an opportunity to mold them the way that Coach Chris wants them, the way that Coach Rudy wants them, and frankly, the way I want them. So we're going to do our best to get them in a situation where they're exactly what we want them to be, and so they can help us win games.
I'm just wondering, obviously, I can't imagine anybody can go through the health situation you did the last year without changing in some respect. I'm just wondering, everything you went through the last year or so, how has that impacted you as a coach? Has it changed you at all one way or the other?
Well, I tell you what, it really changed me in the way of realizing that every day is a gift, that what we do is special. What I do is special, whether it's in the NFL or college or wherever, every day is a gift and every day is special. So I think in that regard, it's helped me understand that when I step into the building, I have to give it my best 100% because none of this is promised. Nothing is guaranteed. And just got to go out and take the blessings that you have and make the most of them.
Yeah, Gary, going back to Jalen, do you have any comparison for him for any of the pro backs or any running backs you've been with in your past coaching career when you watch him?
I don't want to compare him right now because he's so young, but I'll tell you this. He is as smooth as a runner that I've coached as far as his being smooth and being able to get in and out of holes and things of that nature. He reminds me of a young DeMarco when we had him early. He's very smooth. DeMarco's a very smooth runner, but he was very explosive and very powerful. So that's what we're trying to get Jalen to be. He will get there. Again, he's young, a couple years in the weight room, a couple years just getting behind the line and actually playing football will help him get there. I'm not saying he's going to beat DeMarco, but I'm saying that he has the skill set to be a very good runner.
Yeah, Gary, kind of back to your comment about learning to appreciate things, given your health issues that you've had a battle through. Football's been a big part of your life as a player and a coach. Did you ever reach a point in this process where you thought, it's going to be taken away from me before I'm ready to move on to something else?
Absolutely. I'm sure you guys know the history. I've had cancer twice, 10, 11 years ago or whatever it was, or 9 or whatever it was. And then just recently, when you're sitting alone by yourself and you're alone and you're thinking about what's next, you really think about the things that could be taken away. Not only football, but your family and your friends and all these things, and it is going to do one or two things to you. It's either going to eat you up, and you're going to fold up, and you're just going to go in a corner and die, or you're going to fight. And my parents raised me to fight, so that was my only answer to quote unquote bad news is to fight and to go out and make sure that you do whatever you need to do to try to be the best you can be. And being the best I could be was trying to fight this disease. And right now, I am doing pretty good. So, I feel great. All the numbers are great. Everything is great. I just got to continue to change my lifestyle with my eating habits and my medicines and things of that nature to continue to go down this road. So I fully intend to do that. I totally feel like I'm going to be here for another, hopefully, 40, 50 years. We live to be 100, and we'll be good to go.
As Wisconsin running back coach Gary Brown with some, you know, very uplifting, positive words, not just on football, but kind of on life, on approach to life. And again, it's early in the process to get ready for September's season opener, which is why there's no panic in Graham Mertz's voice or in Gary Brown's voice. But there's some good building blocks at both the quarterback and the running back position. Next time on the podcast, we'll examine who the options are that Mertz is going to be throwing to with a look at the tight ends and the wide receivers currently going through Wisconsin spring practices. Wrapping up with some basketball news here on the BadgerBlitz.com podcast. As you undoubtedly heard, Brad Davison has decided to return for a fifth season at Wisconsin, an opportunity awarded to him with the NCAA making last season a non-counter year against the eligibility clock because of COVID. Davison announced that decision on Wednesday through UW's Twitter account, saying there is no place I would rather be than Madison, and he is grateful for one last ride with my coaches and teammates. Davison has played in 128 career games at Wisconsin. He started 124 of those. Last year, he averaged over 31 minutes per game and 10 points per game. In the UW record books, only Josh Gosser with 144, Ethan Happ with 139, and Orlando Tucker with 126 have played more, or started more games during their career at Wisconsin than Brad Davison. Davison is the only one of six seniors choosing to return to UW. Demetri Trice, Micah Potter, and Nate Reavers are turning pro. Trevor Anderson has transferred to Valparaiso, and Walt Magori has transferred to South Dakota. Now, some fans may not like Davison's decision to come back, fans in air quotes, but that mass exodus, as stated above, Davison's return next season is huge for Wisconsin roster to give that roster some experience and some leadership that's currently missing from it. As head coach Greg Hart has called Davison, he's the cement between the bricks. And I think that's an accurate description of what Brad Davison is going to bring this very young group of players in the fall. Now, following Davison's announcement, Wisconsin officially announced the signing of 2021 forward Marcus Oliver on Friday, believed to be the final piece of the Badgers' 2021 signing class. Listed at 6'8 and 205 pounds, Oliver hails from Ohio Western Reserve Academy. He committed to the Badgers in January over more than a dozen scholarship offers. He's originally from Estonia, played in Virginia before moving to Ohio. Guard sent a statement that Marcus is an excellent addition to our recruiting class and program. He impressed us from the very beginning with size, athleticism, and a skill set that matches our style of play. Marcus has a well-rounded game with room to grow in all areas. His ability to shoot the ball at his size has been a strength to this point. End quote. Now, Marcus's dad played professionally in Estonia, so there's some good bloodlines there. Marcus also represented Estonia at the 2020 Baltic Sea Basketball Cup. He earned MVP honors after averaging 15 points and 6 rebounds per game. He joins a recruiting class that includes two other forwards in Illinois' Chris Hodges and South Dakota's Matthew Morris. They both signed in the fall with point guard Chucky Hepburn. Hodges committed to the Badgers in August 2019, while Hepburn and Morris committed a day apart later that fall. Those three have been on UW's campus multiple times, while Marcus has been forced to view Wisconsin from afar with the recruiting periods wiped out due to COVID. And the other commitment we need to talk about, Wisconsin has one open scholarship remaining now after reportedly landing a transfer commitment from Wake Forest point guard Jacoby Neath on Thursday. 6'3" sophomore point guard played in 50 games during 2 years with the Demon Deacons. He averaged 17 minutes per game, 4.7 points, 2 assists, a half steal, and 1.8 rebounds. He'll be eligible immediately after the NCAA passed a one-time transfer rule, allowing players to switch schools one time without having to sit out a season. Now, without a true point guard on the roster, at least an experienced point guard on the roster, Neath appears to fill a critical void for Wisconsin in the backcourt. Time will tell if guard will use the transfer portal one more time to strengthen a frontcourt that's also short on experience. That is our podcast for this week. For all the latest on Wisconsin football, basketball, recruiting, log on to BadgerBlitz.com. Follow me on Twitter at TheBadgerNation. We'll give you plenty more updates throughout the week on recruiting, Wisconsin spring football, and anything else, any other breaking news concerning the University of Wisconsin. Have a great week, everybody. We'll talk to you next week, talking Wisconsin wide receivers and tight ends and more spring football here on the BadgerBlitz.com podcast.